Welcome to a very special edition of the Game Informer Show. I am Leo Vader, joined by Brian Shea.
Hey, hey.
And Elise Favis.
Hey, yeah.
And what are we doing here today?
We spoke to Remedy to ask them some lingering questions that we got from the community.
That's right. We gathered community questions from GameInformer.com and our YouTube channel, the community page there. And we asked them primarily about the Epic exclusivity and the length of the game, because those are the two things people wanted to know about the most. And I think they gave pretty satisfying answers to both of them.
Yeah, they definitely addressed it all. They didn't really shy away too much from anything. And yeah, I'm excited. We also asked them a lot of other stuff. So I think it's a fun interview for all.
I had fun doing it. That's right. We had lots of information coming out here. And for more information, GameInformer.com/control. We've been putting up video and written features all throughout the month. Tons of exclusive details on there. But the Game Informer Show, generally, when it's not a special edition, it's a weekly podcast. Every Thursday, we talk about new releases. We take fun community emails. Lots of crazy exclusive interviews that Ben Hansen does. Yeah. He's very good at interviewing people.
I don't know how he gets these people either.
No.
Frankly, it's crazy.
Yeah. So check out our YouTube channel and GameInformer.com and subscribe on iTunes. Every Thursday, Game Informer Show. But now we've got a very special edition. And we're going to interview Thomas Pua, Michael Kasurinen, and Brooke Maggs from Remedy with your, the community's, lingering questions. Take it away, us. All right, so from left to right, we've got Thomas, Mixu, and Brooke. Welcome to the Game Informer Show, guys.
All right,
thank
you. Hello,
thank you for having us. Hey.
Very, very happy to have you. We're going to get right into the questions here. First one, the question we got asked the most, no question. Quenter put it the most succinctly, why Epic exclusive?
We'll let Thomas handle that one.
Yeah.
Right, I'm glad I'm not completely jet lagged and tired. So why Epic? Well, there's several reasons, right? First of all, I mean, at the end of the day, we're in a business, and none of these choices are ever made lightly. And then, of course, I mean, Remedy and Epic have a very, very long history, basically ever since Remedy was Future Crew Demo Group back in the mid-90s. We've been pretty close with Epic, but it's not like this is a deal done exactly by Remedy. It's all done by the publisher who's responsible for these things. But yeah, I mean, we get, some people get annoyed about this, but from our perspective, it's a good opportunity. Competition is good. Nothing wrong with Steam, but it's an interesting opportunity at the end of the day. And look, I mean, when we put out Quantum Break, that was only on Xbox One and then originally on Windows 10 Store, which wasn't exactly great. And then later on, we were able to put it on Steam. So at least, while I know people will take this wrong way, at least it's not like you have to get new hardware. You can still get it for your PC. Yes, you're going to have to get the Epic launcher, but still we're able to be multi-platform, and from Remedy's perspective, that's great. At the end of the day, we just got to worry about the developer make control as good as it can be. That's our main concern.
Mm-hmm. Follow-up questions, just to get them all out of the way. Chad Black asked, how do you as a developer think that the Epic Store is better for gaming? What benefits does it give us that gamers just can't seem to see?
It'll have great content like Control and other games.
Mm-hmm. And Raziel Grave asks, how are you taking the backlash? Was it surprising at all?
Not surprising. I mean, some of it, sure. But, you know, I mean, I started playing games back in late 80s, early 90s. If you played on a PC back then, you had like 12 discs that you had to install, all those things. So I would still say things are quite a bit better these days than they used to be. But like I said, we just got to worry about making Control as good as it can be, and hopefully people will give it a chance. I think one thing, like, the audience out there kind of forgets, like all of us at Remedy and at 505, everybody plays games. So, you know, I mean, we do understand.
Mm-hmm.
So Brendan Ford asks, will there be any slow motion shooting abilities?
Right. I guess I'll take that one. We're not going to have gameplay function that is focused on slow motion, but we do use slow motion to amplify, let's say, certain moments in gameplay to add it like that extra punch at key moments. That's about it.
Great. And Chinarmi wants to know if there's going to be stealth, and if so, to what extent?
I think Control is more about direct conflict with the enemies. You can sometimes choose when you start the fight, but I wouldn't call it stealth gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Great. And Ethan Bernard wants to know if the game's going to run at 60 frames per second on consoles.
The answer is that on consoles, Control will run at 30 frames per second. And of course, on PC, it's different games. Then you can make it to your heart's content.
Mm-hmm. Lionheart asks, is there a favor frame rate or favor resolution option?
We're looking into the resolution option, but really nothing to say about that at this stage.
Okay. Dylan asks, will there be a reason to play through the story for a second time?
That's a good question. There might be aspects that you realize how things connect when you play it the second time that you don't realize initially. Can't reveal more than that at this point, I'm sorry.
Matthias Will asks, are there any loading screens aside from the initial one after death?
Yes, there are loading screens.
Roman Sabella.
We'll make them look really nice.
Good. Roman Sabella asked another question we got a lot of. How long is the campaign? Can you speak to a target length at all?
Yeah, we get asked that a lot. Like, yeah. You know what's funny? That is the one question. It doesn't matter if you're a journalist, if you are a publisher, if you're at Epic or wherever, everybody asks that question. It's fascinating. It's the one same thing that people ask. We don't really know the exact R count right now. That's pretty hard to tell. But, I mean, suffice to say, Quantum Break was something like 8 hours. This will be a lot longer. So hopefully at least over 20 hours, but like can't. We have all the content in the game now, so we're like now getting some statistics on that. But I mean, once you play through the campaign, there's still side missions. There's the end game, which we really haven't talked about. So there's reasons for you to back. So it's pretty hard to put any sort of number there.
Okay, well, I appreciate you trying. People ask so much that we have to pass at least one of them along. CalXL asks, is the last boss fight going to be better than the last boss fight of Quantum Break? Not hating on Quantum Break, but you know, ..
Well, it can't be much worse, right?
Okay, very good answer.
PR guy, Thomas, or not?
Jeez. Well, let me tell you a story about the boss fight in Quantum Break. So I was playing through the game on hard, and I was at that boss fight for 2 hours, and then I called up the designers, like, "Come on, guys, like, help me out here." I mean, we ran out of time, and you know, for a very long time there was not supposed to be a boss fight. Then there's a boss fight, then maybe the publisher wants there to be a boss fight, and then, you know, it just keeps changing and changing, and at the final stretch, it's something where we did our best, all of our folks did their best, but it was what it was.
So the answer to that question is yes.
Okay, great. Digimatrix asks, does the non-linear level design Metroidvania kind of approach affect the storytelling compared to previous Remedy games?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. because the game structure is different, of course, it affects that. We can't predict anymore exactly how the player is going to go through the game, what things tackle at any given time. So, yeah, it needs new kind of thinking. Mm-hmm.
It also provided us with an opportunity to place, you know, story opportunities in the world. So not only for optional content, but for environmental storytelling, but also to kick off side missions in places that, you know, only become accessible later in the game. There's always more to uncover. I think it actually provided us with a lot more opportunities making that decision.
Pandangit Bobby asks, why this game now? What felt right about this project over other ideas at the studio?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, there's not a short answer to that. I think part of the process of creating a new game, it's a collection of concepts that we definitely want to have here. Creating a more open-ended, long-lasting experience was definitely what we wanted to do after Quantum Break. And then the question is, what kind of concepts fit into that, you know, those parameters? So it goes a bit both ways. And then there's this period of time when you put ideas together where we massage different elements and bring them together and feel like there are other aspects that just don't work out. So it wasn't like a moment where we had like, oh, here's three different things and, oh, well, let's pick that one. That sounds really good. It doesn't really work like that.
Mm. It was also about, you know, we very much approached it as developing, you know, a story world that could hold multiple stories as well. And this particular idea had that particular opportunity. So I think that was an important thing. It had a lot of breadth and depth that we could explore. Mm. So I think that was another reason this idea came to the top.
Zangmaster asks, or he says rather, game looks awesome. We've seen some of the powers at our disposal, which were pretty sweet. I'm wondering, do these powers ever get amped up? Like, can I pick people up and crush them instead of throwing them?
Yeah, actually, you can use launch to pick up enemies that have been weakened, and you get this kind of Darth Vader moment there. Then you can throw them off. Pretty sweet.
Then Tom asked, were there any bugs that inspired you to reproduce them because they actually did something cool?
That's a really good question. We definitely had those in our wake. I can't think of anything with this. We're so good. There weren't any bugs.
Oh, yeah, the game is running fine at the back shop floor. No problems at all.
Mark,
think of anything right now.
Okay. Marco Olivier asks, will there be any alternative outfits for Jesse to unlock and wear?
Yes, actually. Yeah. There's a number of outfits. Actually, we're kind of surprised how many we got them in the game. So the answer is yes, without going more deeply into it.
Yeah, quite they yet. Look really cool.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Meme-O asks, a lot of this game's fighting mechanics seem incredibly complex to code. Which mechanic was the most difficult to actually get functional in the game?
It's an interesting question. Some of the abilities, I think, needed deeper functionality from the engine that we just simply didn't have before. Like Z's, for instance, where you can turn enemies to your side. That was only possible because we had an entirely new AI system up and running. So in one sense, you could argue that that's the most complicated one. But then, of course, getting the physics to feel right with launch and with Shield and others was an extremely long and complicated process to balance out that it looks good, but there's still that physical fidelity there, and to make it really feel good and impactful. That was a lot of iteration that it took.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe just even on, you know, such a short amount of time, seeing how polished the abilities have gotten over time. Like the VFX guys have done an incredible job making them like not only like feel really good, but look really good too, and intuitive as well. So you kind of, you know, can intuit physically what you want to do in the world and do it, and it feels reactive. So that's a small feat, like, because when you can, you know, throw things across a room, then it's not only making the ability feel good, but it's also how the rest of the environment responds that reinforces that as well. So that didn't come easily.
Yeah, and there's the extra challenge that we're taking real world physics and doing strange things with them. When you look at games that are, let's say, more fantastical and so on, stuff like that, then there's less pressure to make them look real because they look so weird from the get-go. But when you're actually collecting a bunch of stuff to use as shield, it needs to look natural, but still, of course, where things are going on from a kind of like a gravity perspective, that the telekinesis perspective, and getting that look and feel right, yeah, it's a lot of work.
Tolkien85 asks, when lifting objects with telekinesis, do they have differences in weight, or does everything feel the same when being levitated?
Oh, that's a good question.
Does everything feel the same? So there are, there are multiple layers here. So different, so we have basically broken down obviously into different weight classes to just kind of define how powerful they are when you use them. And there are limitations to your abilities initially that you need to unlock to be able to take heavier objects and use them as a weapon.
Ex-Kalaman asks, does Jessie actually kill people or just destroy the hiss inside them when she shoots them? Or, since they're possessed by an otherworldly force, are they already dead?
Do you want to take that one?
I'll let you take that one.
All right. Well, first off, we don't want to, of course, kill innocent people in this game. So the hiss has taken over these humans and changed them in a way that there's no going back for these specific humans. And it's actually something that we look into and deal with right in the beginning of the game.
Yeah. Jesse discovers that pretty early on, which adds to the, I guess, the seriousness of the situation as well.
Yeah, these people have been transformed into something else. They are not people anymore in that sense.
Vishnu Alkyon asks a question near and dear to my heart. Will there be HUD or UI customization? I love playing with minimal to no HUD.
That's a good question. I am not exactly sure what are all the different possibilities with the HUD right now, but sounds like something we should look into.
Space Cadet Adam asks, can I go back and watch the cutscenes later?
I don't think you can. I mean, there's no like functionality where we like list everyone and you'd go and watch them.
Yeah, I do think you need to play through the game again to watch the cutscenes. There are let's say collectible video elements that you can, of course, watch as many times as you want, but not the cutscenes that are connected to the plot that you go through in the game.
And he has a follow-up question. Does pausing the game skip cutscenes? I think he means like if you push start in the middle of a cutscene, does it pause the cutscene or does it skip it?
That question cracks me up because it's, to the audience, it seems like it's obvious we can answer, but it's one of those things that, like, nobody on the team, it's like once the game is together, we're like, oh, that's how it works.
Yeah, it's funny. I kind of have to stop and think for a second. I'm sure you can pause the cutscenes as you watch them, whether it's the, you know, specific button start or not, that I'm not sure of.
Yeah, I don't think pausing skips the cutscene.
No.
Sidewinder 17 asks, does the service weapon work the way it does outside of the oldest house?
That's a good one.
So I'm wondering like if I want to reveal too much about the world, but the abilities that Jessie acquire are very much things that belong to her, including the service weapon. So the answer would be yes. It's part of her now, and wherever she goes, the service weapon goes with her.
Thrawn Cadis L asks, how much of the game will be procedurally generated compared to how much is handcrafted?
That's a procedurally generated content. It's always a tricky thing to start opening up. There are elements in the game that are procedural, like our AI, for instance, how it defines what enemies to use and in what configuration, how they respond, and so on. That's the only procedural system that we have up and running. Everything else is handcrafted in the game.
Zay Manel Rocha asks, will there be DLC? If yes, do you have a date planned?
Thomas can take this one.
Well, they should just read Game Informer that you guys...
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
which reminds me, I still don't have my physical copy.
Oh, no.
Get it out here at PAX. Anyway, so yes, there's two expansions. And there will be some content released between like the expansions. But we're really just concentrating on getting the game done. I mean, we have like a high level overview of what the expansions will be, but really, I mean, we'll only get to work on them properly once we get control done and ship it and take a breather and then move on to the expansions.
So I actually have one more here.
Okay.
Brian Shea asks, wow, I just watched the mocap video on GameInformer.com, and those guys did really well. What are the chances that anything they did makes it into the game?
Yeah, those two guys just looked so incredibly good, like so suave and great movement. They took excellent direction. So we're actually probably gonna focus an entire expansion on just those two characters now.
Yeah.
Just what we would have expected.
Careers ahead of you. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, that's all the questions we got here. Thank you to everybody who wrote in, and thank you guys so much and for hosting us in Finland at the start of this month. That trip was so much fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Back anytime.
Thank you guys, and thank you for all the awesome coverage. I mean, everybody at Remedy and 505 really appreciates it. We never take it for granted. So it's been awesome to see. Thank you.
Great. You're very awesome. Welcome.
Thank you. And have a great time at PAX, Thomas.
I'll try.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Bye.
Wasn't that a fun chat?
It sure was.
And that was a fun trip. We all went to Finland together a month ago.
We should go again.
2 months ago.
Let's go again next month.
Let's go again. Can they put together a new game for us to go cover real quick? That'd be great.
Just for us.
Yeah. Thank you so much for watching or listening to this very special episode. Once again, Game Informer Show comes out every Thursday. Such a great show.
It's pretty good.
Critically acclaimed.
So much
We're the critics.
Goes into it, and so much love comes out of it. Thank you very much for watching. We'll see you next time.